Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, we've already got one host down because, well, they're three in. Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here and my table of companions, Private Cheeseburger, Double A Ron.
Hello. I'm not drunk yet.
And...
catch up, bitch!
I'm trying.
Half in the bag, Red, our special guest.
Half in the bag,
Red. Whatever, man. It's still the holidays.
Yeah. Cheers to that.
It's the holidays until tomorrow.
That is right. Until the working week returns.
I was going to say, we're still in, you know, Feliz Navidad times.
That's right. We are proudly sponsored by the one and only HobbyDB, the collector's database. Be sure to visit their Facebook page or the link in this podcast that leads directly to their page so you can check out how much your collectibles are worth. Or if you want to actually start your own collection database. Why don't you drink some more?
It's going to be a long
As we can see, Red is back.
Yeah, welcome back.
I was
welcome Mexico. Back from your vacation slash working vacation.
Yes.
Slash,
yeah.
I saw lots of booze.
Booze?
Yeah, that too.
Oh, yeah, you're drawing them booze out there. Let's go.
I drew a pina colada boo. It was a boo holding a coconut and a pineapple with an umbrella in the background. And I was like,
you put the pineapple in the coconut and drink it all.
Mix it all up.
Yeah. Booze, and then you throw in an umbrella, and that's how it's done.
Feels like a Jimmy Buffett thing.
It does.
That sums up my week.
Yeah,
stepped on a pop top.
I was
that's my flip flop.
Yeah.
I was technically in Mexico.
His heel had to cruise on back home, though. Do ghosts have heels?
Do ghosts have heels?
It depends on where you're stepping.
Fair point.
Good point.
I don't have an argument.
Nope.
I was technically in Mexico. It was basically Canada across borders. It was only Mexico when you had to fill out the paperwork to leave.
All
right.
Yeah.
Okay. You survived the experience. Congratulations. Welcome back.
I had no sunburns.
Yeah.
I noticed.
That's good.
You have very pale calves is what I did notice.
Okay, that was just the shading of the picture.
Right.
That was the bocce tournament.
Oh.
There's a bocce tournament?
Right before everything went downhill.
Wow.
Well,
that usually is what happens. You have a bocce tournament and shit just goes...
Yeah, people get in fights right in the tank every time.
So yeah, it was on the schedule. One of the things they had was this bocce tournament. And we were like...
Bocce riots are the worst.
Let's go.
Bunch of white people in Hawaiian shirts.
And
straw hats.
No throwing flip flops. White people in Hawaiian shirts.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I don't believe you at all.
No white people in Hawaiian shirts.
Wow.
And, what nationality was there, though?
Mostly French.
So, right. White people. Right.
Yeah, they were white people.
They're
none
off
of them
white.
Were wearing...
They're not white. They're
I'm
off
saying
white.
Not American white people.
Not American white people. And none of them were wearing Hawaiian shirts. I didn't say there weren't any white people. I just said there were no Hawaiian shirts. All
right.
Man.
Indy would have ruled supreme.
I was going to say. He's
no, man.
A big
Gustavo
man in his Hawaiian shirt.
Gustavo would ruled supreme.
Oh, yeah. Gustavo just looks like a native.
No, he doesn't.
I probably would have thought he worked there.
First of all, he looks like a native of not Mexico.
That's true.
He looks like a aborigine from New Zealand.
That man's way too jacked and like way too tan.
You know who he reminds me of?
He is shredded.
He's the Mexican Witcher. Yeah.
Oh my God. We will get to the Witcher because
he's got the hair and the shoulders.
We will get to the Witcher because we need to know what Red has deduced. Roach is the shit.
Indy is Roach in this scenario.
Oh. Save a horse, ride a cowboy. Am I right?
Wow. High five.
Save a roach, ride a cowboy.
Before we get to The Witcher, latest news from Keanu Reeves' front is that he has adopted all of the animals from Australia.
What a good guy.
Man.
Latest news that I just made up.
Crikey, am I right?
Crikey. Save the
is this
koalas.
Too soon?
Did you see the comic with Steve Irwin?
I can't look at the comics.
I can't.
There, Devin showed me one that It was just literally the Grim Reaper catching a koala, and I can't.
I saw the one with the cat, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah,
and,
no.
And then they were like, and now another one in Australia, and I was like,
I'm
waiting for the Sarah McLachlan music to kick in. I can't take it. I'm like, oh my God. Just somebody please step in with more money.
I did learn today that this girl in New York, I think it was. It was either New York, somewhere out east. She raised like $15,000 because she said for every $10 that people donated, she would send nudes.
I would send nudes.
And so that girl got shit done. She raised like $15,000 to send over there.
For the koalas.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
You know, I applaud that. Yeah. Well done.
I couldn't raise that much money trying to do that. I'm like, man,
you could. How much could you abuse your body with alcohol? And record it.
Like every $10, I take a shot. Like,
yes.
Oh, no.
No, screw that.
I would die.
If I were Aaron, oh, hell, I'll do it. Like, you know, if for every $10 you don't send, I send you a nude, bitch.
Oh, yeah, there you go. The reverse psychology. Yeah. Send me $10 or I send you nudes.
I think we're playing this wrong. Because if we did like a drink-off, the 5280 Save a Koala drink-off.
There you go.
Okay. Where you send us money and for every whatever, you can pick our shot.
No. Oh, no.
And Red has to bartend.
Okay.
Okay, first of all...
I'm in. I'm going to die.
We're done at the end of this fundraiser.
Were you not listening to the stories I was telling? Like, drinking for no reason is not a badge of honor.
We're drinking for a reason.
No. I was gonna say, that's for a good cause.
Yeah, send me money so I do shots. It's like...
Yeah, but I'm also sending money to Australia. Like,
Well, then just send money to Australia. Come on with something else.
I'm not saving turtles, I'm saving koalas.
Okay. Sea turtle! Every time we saw a sign...
The turtles!
We just went into Pirates of the Caribbean and we're like, sea turtle!
I just marathoned the first three movies yesterday, so
There's only one! That's amazing!
There's three movies.
It's amazing!
There's only three. Four and five don't exist.
There's five?
There's five.
Yeah. There's one.
Stranger Tides is the worst one.
One movie.
Here's the horse.
One.
Hey, listen, the only reason that they did that was because after the second movie, they're like, oh, this Johnny Depp guy, we can make money.
Yeah, we're just gonna...
Yeah, it was the third movie they realized that.
movie is when they realized it.
Speaking of realizing, Doctor Who season 12...
Men Meet.
...came back.
Men Meet.
It's very interesting.
Men Meet.
The next episode airs tonight. Spoiler alert.
Men Meet.
The Master is back.
Okay, so once upon a time...
Stop. We're not there yet. Da-ba-da-ba-da. Boozy.
She's just excited.
I know, she's just like...
She's excited to talk about it.
She wants to get there.
I get it.
In due time. I did, however...
I was going to talk about Doctor Who!
Who?
Okay. I would love to hear what you have to say about
that. Once upon a time, in 2002...
Go on.
Okay, it was probably like 2005.
Okay.
There was this show called Outsourced.
I was in fifth grade. Go on.
Have you heard of Outsourced?
No.
It got canceled real fast.
Oh, yeah, good. It made it a season.
Why I've never heard of it.
It's wonderful, but... They harped a little too hard on white culture versus non-white culture, and it got a little too chatty.
Sure.
So it's kind of like Invader Zim, where there were some jokes where, like, yeah, your show gets canceled.
Yeah. Yeah.
But basically, it's an American company gets outsourced to India, and it's culture shock.
Oh.
So it's one white dude going to India.
I think I've heard of this.
Yes.
It sounds familiar. It sounds like it probably wouldn't have done very well.
It did. It was almost Parks and Rec.
Sure.
With culture shock, but they harped on the wrong things a little too hard.
I was going to say, like, there's a lot there to work with, and they probably only made, like, I'm a white man in a brown country. Like,
yeah, they got a little too, brown people are funny.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's, yep.
And
he's got a funny accent.
There's a line where, brown people, white man and brown people culture is funny.
Yeah, it's different.
But they got
a different culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But instead of doing white man and brown culture is funny, which they did some of the time, they did a lot of people are funny.
Yeah, they did more brown people are funny than white people.
The entire show of Apu. That's that's rough.
But they're one of the actors, his character's name was Manmeet, and like there was this back and forth of, your name is Manmeet? and that went on a little too long. But that actor who played Manmeet, he is in the new Doctor Who.
He is the Master.
And he
Oh, he's the master guy. Oh, he, wow.
And oh my
how
God.
How far he's come.
So the reveal of him being the Master is probably some of the best writing that I have seen for this new Doctor Who.
Awesome. Yeah, but that's still not saying a whole lot.
It's not saying a whole lot, but at least they're taking the time and they're bringing... Because, of course, they did the whole, we're not going to use any of the old character bullshit for the first season. And then they realized, oh yeah, this show sucks unless we rely on this Laurel.
People do this all the time. And I saw it online whenever the... Peter Capaldi's run where they're like, you're using too many of the classic monsters. We want less. We want more original things. And the writers went... Okay, sure. Yeah, we'll do that. We won't have any of the old stuff. And then they did that, but they didn't have any of the old monsters for, like, most of the season. And people went, why aren't there any of the old monsters?
Yeah.
Okay, so the problem is what the fans are really saying, writers, and what you're not hearing is, why don't you actually be good at your job?
Oof.
They need to come up with original stories.
Which is the... And they've almost done that a few times in the revamp. But that's always been my biggest beef with the Doctor Who since the year 1989, which is you're resting on the laurels that Doctor Who will carry, and people love David Tennant and think he's sexy, and you're resting on the laurels that David Tennant is sexy. And you're resting on the laurel that Neil Gaiman is on your writing staff. You're resting on the laurels that. Yeah, but that's what they're doing.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. And that's always been my problem with the revamp of Doctor Who, is they either rely too much on the laurels of what has been done, or they try and go off on something else, and they're not doing it well enough.
Yeah.
And it comes down to the fans are saying, you're relying too much on the old stuff, and then you're going off... way up to the fact that this isn't the same thing anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the fans know how to say that. And I don't think the writers are good at their job enough to receive that. Because Douglas Adams never would have let this happen.
No. And the problem is...
Fred Yeager would have had a field day with your asses.
Firstly...
That's accurate.
You're listening to the fans way too fucking much. Yeah. Write a goddamn story.
You learned nothing from Lost.
You learned absolutely zero... from Lost.
Yeah.
Just write what you want to write and just put it out there, and people will like it.
Be creative.
That's why the Weeping Angels were so successful.
Yeah, because it was an original thought.
It was an original thought with the same theme as the Cyberman and the Daleks.
It's this really scary thing.
Yes.
But without being super intimidating. Because, like, you know what? The Daleks are a trash can. But they can disintegrate you instantly. And you're like, this thing shouldn't be scary, but it is.
But in 1963, like, that thing was horrible. Yeah.
That pepper pot came for you. Game
they're
over.
They're fucking trash cans.
Exfoliate!
The Cybermen are these, like... Yeah, like shit like that. That's scary.
That voice rings in your nightmares.
Yeah, that's what... Doctor Who should be, where it's like you have this thing where it's a good original, like, scary thing that the Doctor goes and deals with. Like,
absolutely. But the Doctor,
without weapons.
The Doctor should always be this anthropologist scientist first.
Solving problems with the brain.
He should not
than
be a sex object. He should not be a befuddled British man who takes care of London way too much.
I was going to say, golly, for somebody who saves the world a lot, you guys end up in the UK a lot.
Yeah, but
why do we need to be on the Earth so much?
It just... Anyway.
The new season has been better.
The first episode, what I loved, Man Meat. Switches.
Maybe we should learn that actor's real name.
We should probably, because I have a feeling he's going to be coming back, because he switches from normal to psychotic like that.
He really does it well.
Rich was watching it the other day, and he just screams at me for the next year. He goes, "Man, Meat is the master!" And I was like, "I'm going to need some context."
Yes.
I didn't know he was watching Doctor Who at the time. He just screamed.
It's like watching Mark Hamill do the Joker. Mark Hamill is Mark Hamill. And then all of a sudden, when he does the Joker, he gets into the character.
Yeah, he gets different.
You see him evolve into the character.
What? You mean they get good actors and decent writing?
It's almost like it's his job.
It's like his job.
What?
So you see Man Meat.
Who told you?
You see Man Meat playing straight. I mean, he's total deadpan. He's scientist. He's committed to the cause, and then all of a sudden,
he switches
the switch.
That's good. Speaking of versatile acting,
not yet. Oh my God. I did think about you while you were gone.
You're all like, oh, sexy.
Yes. Especially because it's a show that you don't really care about.
Or creepy, I don't know.
But it made me laugh because Black Sails is totally running wild in Lost in Space 2. They put Sails on the Jupiter 2 as they're rafting down this huge river. And of course, guess who's the captain?
Black Sails.
Is it the robot?
No, of course not the robot.
Black Sails was a show that was a prequel to Treasure Island on Stars for like 4 years.
And Wait, is Will Robinson the fucking captain?
No.
Is it Captain Flint?
Yes.
Of course it is.
It is.
Well,
and they're
like... Well, he was cast in Lost in Space last year, and I almost watched it because of that, and then I was like, eh, no.
They really play on the whole Black Sails because he's like, I have a big background in sailing. And I just lost my shit. Okay. And I'm like, oh my God. They're
Black
really
Sails
playing to it.
Show, if you haven't seen.
Black Sails is great.
It's a pirate show, right?
Yeah, yes.
It's a prequel to Treasure Island.
What's it on? What network?
Stars?
Okay.
Yeah,
Stars. I can actually watch that.
It's actually a very good series. When she made me watch it,
I'm in a pirating mood, so.
It's very well written through and through. There were parts where I was all like, where they're going with this, and then they went there with that, and I was like, holy shit, that's a good idea. So their writers were underpaid. I don't know what their writers made, but they were underpaid. They were very well written.
It was a great show.
It's a prequel to Treasure Island.
I was not expecting what I got.
Very adult compared to what Robin Louis Stevenson's wrote.
Well, I did just watch Treasure Planet, so I'm up to snuff on the story.
It's slightly political in the sense of what was going on in the early 1700s.
Sure.
Political stance. There's some real characters that were real pirates mixed with fictional characters that are from Treasure Island.
I like that a lot. That's really cool.
And there's a lot of poetic license taken about what these real people and what was really going on, but it holds to the theme of this is what was going on in the world.
Sure.
In a very real way. They don't shy away from the ethnicity and the slave trade of people.
Yeah, that was a thing.
And it was a thing.
Most pirate things shy away from that.
They really
so
do.
So I like
focus,
that they're not
they
afraid
focus
of
on
that.
White people, and black people were a thing, but not really a thing we interact with.
Only in the Caribbean and...
In Florida.
Florida.
There are black characters, and they deal with the slavery, and it's not a black actors playing characters, and we ignore that slavery was happening.
Sure.
It's a focal point.
It's a focal point, but also something that is, especially within the pirate campaign, there are pirates that see black people as equals, and there are pirates that see black people not as equals, and that's really something that has to be addressed throughout.
Yeah.
And it's the story, the
and
whole
boobies.
Overall arc.
And boobies.
And boobies.
You could have just started with that, and I would have been in. So,
boobies on pirate ships.
Black Sails came out.
Go for the boobies, stay for the political commentary.
There you go.
But Black Sails came out about the same time as Game of Thrones, like season one, season two.
So it probably kind of got
shoved over. It got a
little
overshadowed.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
so
kind of sad.
I always felt like Black Sails was not getting as much due because they showed as many boobies and more dick than Game of Thrones, they're very
equal opportunity.
They're very equal opportunity. There's a lot of sexual orientation where, basically, if you watch Black Sails and you haven't already, and I realize this show is like 8 years old, but if you haven't seen it already, just assume that every character not in a British uniform is bi.
Hell yeah, party fucking hard.
Whether they are or not, just assume they are.
They're flexible.
Everybody is flexible.
I mean, listen, you're on a boat for a really long fucking time. And there's not always the same or the opposite sex available. So.
They get a pass.
And frankly, I also
it's fine. It's like being in prison. We get it.
I also think the casting is a bit more attractive in Black Sails than Game of Thrones. Just like,
this is true.
Yeah.
Speaking of Game of Thrones.
Thank you so much for...
Are we there yet? Can we get into it?
Do you know what I really appreciate, by the way, first, is that we got off Lost in Space so fucking quick.
You're welcome.
I just had to bring that up just for her.
I know you don't care
about Lost in Space.
I don't.
I seriously think it's underrated.
Damn it, I brought it up again.
However, there is a new show that I watched this week. I already powered through it. Daybreak, which just landed on Netflix.
Wait, Daybreakers, the zombie movie?
Yeah,
or TV show?
Kind of?
Well, yeah, they're zombies. Are they zombies? They're kind of zombies.
They're kind of zombies.
But it's the high school kids.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, that show's fucking... It's been out for a while.
Has it?
Yeah.
It's popped up in fantastic. My queue. I watched... I powered through all of it. It is hilarious. Dude, I love it.
That show's fucking great.
Remember when Disney Plus launched and you guys were like, I don't know what Netflix is going to do?
Well, we didn't say that. Other people said that.
Yeah.
I said Netflix is going to be fine.
I said Netflix was going to be fine. Case in point.
Yeah, like, they've got good shows.
They've got good shows. And I can't argue it.
What's that one that just came out? It's got the white-haired guy.
Can we get it?
The Mandalorian. That's right. that show's fucking great.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you see, okay, so we'll spoil The Witcher, not Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
So if you haven't watched Daybreak yet, because it was new to me, it just popped
it's
up.
It's a great fucking show.
It's a great show. It is post-apocalyptic, all the adults get wiped out on the Earth.
Yeah, that's the whole premise, is that it doesn't affect you until you're like 18.
And
they think, oh, it's like a chemical warfare thing.
Logan's Run with vampires.
Well, and
kind of.
And then I talked to Brett Leader One about it, and he's all like, oh, it's like that episode in Star Trek where they go and it's just nothing but the kids. So Brett Leader One.
I know what he's talking about.
Yes. Yeah. So Brett Leader One was all about it.
Yeah,
he's like,
no,
I'm going to watch
it's,
that
it's
now.
A great show. Fucking, what's his name? Ferris Bueller's Day Off guy. Fucking John Cusack? No, that's the other one.
Sarah Jessica Parker's husband.
Yes.
Yeah.
That you guy. Don't know either.
Ferris
is the principal of the
Matthew
high
Broderick.
School.
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, he's the fucking principal of the high school.
Yes.
He's fantastic.
There
in
are,
show,
like, I, in, like, in the first few episodes, there's like 10 Ferris Bueller references.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had
and
to.
They're playing
he's,
on
he's
it.
He's a high
so
school
well.
Principal, and he's like trying to get somebody's attention, and they
yes.
do a Bueller thing, and it's fucking.
Bueller.
Yeah.
Joe Magnola makes an appearance.
Who?
The werewolf from True Blood.
Oh, I like him. He's married to What's-Her-Face, and she's hilarious.
Yeah. From Modern Family.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It's a very well-put-together show. I'm hoping that it does come back for a second season.
Well, they left it on a cliffhanger.
They did, but that doesn't mean it's coming
shit,
back.
Man. I hope it comes
and
back.
It is a huge cliffhanger and a total, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Do you know where the term cliffhanger comes from?
From hanging off of cliffs?
From Dallas?
No, it comes from the...
Debbie Does Dolls?
From the movie Cliffhanger.
I was talking about Larry Hagman and the show Dallas, but okay, we'll go with that.
No, I was with you. I was all like, that's a weird thing to say.
Who shot JR? The big... That's when they started
no,
doing the big
cliffhanger.
No, it
comes from the movie Cliffhanger.
Was there an ending that didn't make any sense?
Yeah,
well,
I've
it was like the serials that you would have to go to the movies
well, yeah.
to see. And...
No, but the name of the movie was Cliffhanger.
Okay.
I've never heard of it, so I can't.
It was like early 1970s. I feel like this is something I should watch because I'm into literature and I should know this.
I just feel like the term's been around longer than the 70s,
nope.
hasn't it?
No?
No.
Nope.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger ending? Yeah, that was like 1970.
Man.
I think it was before that, but I don't know exactly the date, so I can't argue.
You want to fight about it?
Nope, I do not.
Want to wrestle it out?
I do not.
So,
I do not want my
can
ass
I be here
kicked.
For this?
Yeah, I do not want my ass kicked on the podcast.
Listen, I can make a lot of money on
that
the
would
internet
be,
for that.
If
like,
we could
weird.
Film the Jello wrestling, I feel like that would. I feel like
go warm
be,
up the Jello, Bob.
I feel like that's a different.
Vegas, get the Jello ready.
I was gonna say we're not gonna be able to put our video podcast on YouTube. It's gonna have to go on a different hub of sorts.
Yes. So after Daybreak,
I was gonna tell you something, but I forgot.
And I had a feeling. There is a show
Superman.
That you have already binged twice.
I
can't believe you've gone through it twice already.
I'm impressed with that, actually.
Okay, so Rick doesn't like it.
Oh.
How does Rick not like it?
Probably,
he's like a big video game guy.
Probably because... Okay, well, first of all, video games and does not mean all video games. I like video games is a different statement than...
Assassin's Creed! He's hooked on that thing!
Okay, that's a different show we're watching. And
that's also not The Witcher.
It's in Dutch. I started watching the show on Netflix. It's in Dutch, and I'm ridiculous. And
it's
all...
like the weird Korean show you made me watch.
That was awesome.
Korean Odyssey's badass!
Korean Odyssey's
I finally got through it. But I feel like a lot of things were lost in translation because of Netflix. But
oh man, the Netflix, there were some translations sometimes we were just like,
yeah, because there's choice. Been a few ways that they phrase things that I'm like, that's probably not right. But okay,
you're like, the anime people don't have this problem.
I mean, they do.
But it's no, fine. But we were watching this and it's like, you remember that Brotherhood of the Wolf movie?
Yeah.
Back in the day,
yeah.
Meets Assassin's Creed, and it's intense. Anyway, no.
The Witcher, man.
But The Witcher, every time I've watched it, Rick has come in at episode 4 or later.
Oh.
And he's not into it, and he's confused by it, and I keep explaining to him, like, there's some Westworld time jumps going on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Several times.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, you figured out, he figured out the Westworld time jumps before I did. And yeah, I'm ashamed to admit that he figured out something before I did. But he did. And he thought that added to it. And so I told him, I said, this is like Westworld. There's some time jumps going on. Yeah. You're just going to have to keep up with it. And it's very much, well, I'll come back to that. But it's fun. It's very gory. And mm-hmm. I was recommending. So I actually live watched it with my girlfriend yesterday. She's like, I'm sick and bad, what do I do? And I was like, well, I'm rewatching The Witcher. And she goes, is it any good? And I said, well, I'm rewatching it.
Yeah.
The only thing that you've rewatched at this point is The Punisher.
And I've watched that like 4 times since it came out.
Yes.
I love Punisher season 1. I'm obsessed with The Witcher for a lot of the same reasons. I'm obsessed with blonde Superman.
Fun fact, he apparently kept ripping his costume because he's so fucking shredded.
I believe
like
that.
Yeah, I can see
like
that.
The costume was too tight.
There's that one scene where like the suit is basically falling off of him.
Yeah, that's why.
Comments about how like with a suit that tight, you can't help but strut. You just have to kind of like wiggle.
His butt is there's probably so much fucking leather shoved up that man's ass that, like the entire time.
So evidently, Devin shared a picture that I didn't see.
An illustration of the bard.
Oh, standing there like Papa Bless. Yeah.
It was like, that's...
Fucking tight, his tight butt.
That's Rivendell's ass.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It was like Captain America. It was like, that's Rivendell's ass. And
that's
yeah.
America's ass right there.
No, that was Rivendell's ass. And that's Cersei's ass. Mm.
No, Cersei's ass is
Cersei.
That good.
Okay, so but there are flaws in this show. Like, make no mistake. I take issue with a few things.
They got rid of a redhead, man.
Oh, I didn't know that. You've read the books. I didn't.
I've read the books and played the game. The one gripe that I have, I love the actress who plays Triss. She's great, but in the game, she's a redhead, and I'm just like, man. Need more redhead representation.
Okay.
Like,
but the character's still there. She's just not a redhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The fucking actress is great. The character's great. Yeah.
I really like. She's one of the few female characters I actually like.
Yeah. Well, because she's actually likable. Like, yeah, everybody else, you're like, you're a fucking piece of shit. You're a fucking piece of shit. Like, why do I care about you?
I know the actress who plays Yennefer and I share a name, but at the same time, I'm just like, go to hell.
Yeah, no, she's annoying, man.
I don't get why he likes her.
Because she smells nice.
Yeah.
I guess she smells.
That's like
she
the
doped
whole
him up.
Thing. Like, yeah, that's the thing. Is she like?
Well, isn't
like,
that how it happens in the game too?
Kind of, but. In the game, it's on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay.
In this, it feels like it's not on purpose, mm-hmm. unless it is on purpose. Mm-hmm. But like, it's hard to tell because mm-hmm. they don't
really dive into it. What I like the most about The Witcher is they
one thing.
Well, no, this is
I like a lot. Of
there, I like a lot of things, but the
mostly,
paramount piece
mostly when he's not wearing a shirt.
I am sure. I'm sure it's spank bank material. However. The zenith of what I like the most is that they leave it to the person, the viewer, to interpret and figure it out.
Yeah, they don't explain it to you.
No!
Even at the end, they don't really explain it to you.
They don't.
And I like that a lot.
They kind of spoon feed it to you starting in the last 3 episodes of like, there are different timelines. If you haven't figured it out by now,
keep on, bitches.
Here's the helper.
There's the last episode kind of does. Like,
yes. It ties that, it all together.
They'll just drop a name here or there, and you're like, oh, okay, so we're at this point in like the future,
mm-hmm.
but we're not really in the past.
Assume their audience is smart and with it.
Yeah.
They did not bright it up.
They did not brighten
it
up.
I like that a lot.
And they relied on the intelligence and the how observant.
But also, it wasn't that Harry Potter fiasco.
That's not a word.
I remember when the first like 3 Harry Potter movies came out, and there was a lot of discourse with people who had read the books and people who hadn't read the books, and people who had read the books said, "Yeah, these movies are great adaptations," and people who hadn't read the books were like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah.
And this isn't that. If you're like me who've never played the games, never read the books,
yeah,
you can keep up.
Yeah, it's
if
perfect.
If you're smart enough.
Yeah.
You don't have to actually. It's just okay. We're going on a story. Keep up.
Yeah.
If you're observant, you keep up, and it's not easy.
You're literally the bard trying to keep up with the horse.
So I was telling somebody that like the story feels like it's from his perspective, where he's trying to tell it and he's like a little drunk, and like it's a little out of order, but he's getting the main points across.
I like that view.
And like. It really does make you feel smart when you figure it out at the end, where you're like, oh, okay, so this happened like years before, and you're like, oh fuck, like
there were things I was mocking my first run through, and there was no one to comment with except the cat. So there I am telling my cat, you can tell this is a video game reference. and there was a lot of video game choices that I was all like, well, okay, so you see the way they filmed his shoulder movements? That's very video game-esque.
There is a couple, like when he's walking into cities and towns, where it feels like it's trying to be... Like,
you're waiting for the NPC to like, hello,
welcome, how can I help you today? Welcome to my shop.
Absolutely.
Like, and I kind of like that, where they're dropping hints to it, but they're not like, this is a video game. Yeah, it's just camera angles, and I dig it.
Like, okay, so I'm going to say it now. I'm ready all night. This felt like the biggest middle finger to how Game of Thrones ended.
Ooh. Well, and that's the thing, is this actually has good writers who give a shit. The problem with Game of Thrones by the end is it felt like they were rushing things. This didn't feel like they were rushing things. This feels like, hey, we're going to stretch this out as long as fucking possible.
But season one...
But you're still going to like it.
Season one of Game of Thrones versus season one of The Witcher.
Oh, just, very different.
It's very, I trust my audience.
Yeah. They're not spoon-feeding this shit.
Whether they know the source material or not, I trust my audience. And we're going to go on this ride. And there's a lot of boobies. And there's a lot of sex. And there's a lot of gore. And there's a lot of characters that you get invested in only for them to die 5 minutes later.
And
it's done in a way that I don't feel
pandered?
Conned.
Yeah.
I don't feel like a big scam is being played on me.
Yeah, and they paint a nice world that you can understand. Like, okay, so there's magic, but there's also just normal people. Where it's like, oh, okay, so like these monsters are here. People just deal with this shit. They don't like to, but they deal with it.
We don't need an elaborate backstory. We don't need the history.
I don't need a map.
I don't need a map.
They drop hints at it.
I don't need a map.
It's a little like, this isn't a spoiler for The Mandalorian. It's a little bit like that, where they'll drop hints to a thing that you haven't heard of, the elves thing, where you don't know what happened,
but
you know it was fucking
something
awful.
Went down.
Yeah, that's there's a crypt full of bones, you don't know what happened, but you know it was bad.
That is something Star Wars has always done well.
Yeah.
Even the new fanfics funded by Disney, Star Wars, have always done that well. I know what I said.
I'm not conceding
that these are relevant.
Rogue
movies,
One
but,
did it really well because
Star Wars has always managed their maps or lack thereof very well.
They have.
Because you don't need that. You're just like, this is a planet. It's probably really fucking far away from this other planet. It's fine.
Well, and we get that in Rogue One, where you have that whole interaction between Woody Harrelson and.
Woody Harrelson is in Star Wars?
No. Lando Calrissian, Glover.
So we are talking about Solo, not Rogue One.
We are talking about Solo.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, go on.
Where he's all like, "Thank you for taking care of so and so."
Yeah.
The bounty hunter that if you
meet her later in Mandalorian. Yeah, it's
you
great.
You do, and you're all like, "Fucking hell!" And
yeah,
she shows up in the books.
A name that you're just like, weird.
The Mandalorian when it comes to Netflix.
You might be waiting a while.
Because I'm not spending the money for Disney Plus.
Yeah, just get your free trial and then binge the whole thing.
I can't wait. I've loved all the internet stuff with Baby Yoda.
Oh my fucking god! Listen, we can keep talking about Witcher because I fucking love it. But Baby Yoda,
I love it. I love
it. He's the best. Practical effects, man.
Speaking of which, they finally, because the one thing that I really loved about The Mandalorian was the art. The concept art that they show at the end.
It's so cool that they do that.
It is extremely cool. There's actually a webpage that you can go out to and visit. And I'll post it up when I put this up. That you can actually see all of the official concept art that they did for The Mandalorian.
So beautiful. And that concept art's gorgeous.
And the one number one question out of this thread, everyone's asking, where can I buy this art? And it's not available for sale yet that I have seen from an official... "Quote unquote," air quotes here.
I was gonna say you can find it.
You can find it, but it's not.
I want to give credit to those artists.
Yeah. I want to give credit to those artists.
They did good
work.
We want those artists to definitely make that.
Absolutely, yeah. I want it to go through the proper channels, but it's not being offered yet. This page.
I'm sure there will be an art book released.
There has to be.
Because they're smart about this. Because they've been so eggshell, like walking on eggshells for every other Star Wars thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so fucking scared of everything now. Because they're like, we don't want people to get mad. It's the same reason they didn't release Baby Yoda toys, because they were like, what if people don't like him? Like,
what if we have another Jar Jar?
What if you have another Jar Jar? What if you have more Porgs? Like, what if this doesn't sell well?
I don't know what goes on in the story of Baby Yoda, but I did see the video of the Mandalorian Baby Yoda... toss a coin to your Witcher crossover.
Yeah, no, he's the best space dad, so that's all you need to know. That's
Adventures
in
Babysitting posters.
Yeah, Adventures in Babysitting, that's perfect.
Everything I've seen, having never seen the show in context, I'm so
Are you
happy.
On board? Yeah.
I was on board when they announced they were going to do it. I'm just not on board with Disney Plus. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, and you've got, there's two big hits that have come out of Star Wars. You've got Baby Yoda, and then you've got out of Rise of Skywalker, the little...
Oh, fucking Babu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Babu's been a huge
Babu
hit.
Frick.
Babu
I
Frick.
I love Babu.
It's Babar, and he is king of the elephants.
This thing is this big.
Yes.
He's Russian.
French.
He's a fucking Russian space little midget.
He's actually a commentary on the racism in France. And but
I forgot who's voicing the character.
It's some girl.
I think it's the...
Yeah.
No, is it... I want to say it's what's her face out of Harry Potter.
It's not.
Never forget
it's not. She's
face.
She's in...
she shows up
she's
in
The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But... Babu Frick is hilarious. So the internet's been on fire with these two characters for the last couple of weeks.
Do you know what it is? Do you know why I love it? It's because they're going back to practical effects.
Absolutely. Instead of CGI bullshit.
It looks more real to me, where it's like I can actually like see these characters and be like, oh, yeah, that's a real thing in this universe.
They're interacting with it.
Yeah.
And the eyelines and everything and him picking up Baby Yoda to move him off of the control.
Yeah.
Because all of the
Shirley Henderson is Babu Frick.
And what? I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not to get...
Oh, yes, yeah, she's Mad Myrtle out of Harry Potter.
Moaning Myrtle, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
She's from Bridget Jones's Diary.
Yes.
So I knew it was a Harry Potter alum.
No, but not to get way off topic, but that's a big reason why we all knew that Cats live action was going to fail.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I watched that movie.
Why? Was
it a free? Was there a date?
There was drugs involved. And
he went in there tripping balls?
I was high.
He was in there tripping balls.
So a friend of mine who works at the Alamo called me and he's like, hey, do you want to watch Cats? And I was like,
never.
No. And he's like, well, I got a big bag of weed. It wasn't Mike.
Okay.
It wasn't Mike. It's one of the bartenders. And like fucking, he's like, do you want to get high and go watch Cats? And I was like, no, but I'm in. Like,
are those the options?
So
can I get high and not watch
it?
Cats?
Is one of the most horrifying movies I've ever watched. Like,
when the cat
not on
moves,
purpose.
I have issues.
The whole thing is just, yeah, you have stake in this. So
this is your livelihood, Figgis.
But fucking, the problem is they have people faces.
We broke red with that.
They don't have cat-like faces.
No.
They have people faces.
Idris Elba is the weirdest looking
fucking
cat.
He's Idris Elba, but he's a cat. And it doesn't... the brain, the uncanny valley brain, just can't handle it. And
they're not in proportion to the background. That's no. The thing I noticed
Well, they're small. They're cats.
They're too small.
Yeah, like, it's weird.
They're too small for the background. So they have these backgrounds that make them look like they are mice size, but yep. They're cats, and they're supposed to be cat size, and it's it's just sloppy.
And the problem that I have too, I saw the not updated version because they released two versions into theaters. Because they released the first version to make it out before Christmas.
Oh, God.
To rush it.
You know, some they
didn't
Hedgehog style.
Finish the VFX. They didn't finish it.
How there did are not human
hands.
That?
There are human hands. You can see, like, I think it's Meryl Streep's hand, where she has her fucking wedding ring and everything. Just her fucking human hand. They're just there. And it's not finished. It's not a finished movie. And I saw that version. And
that's
yes,
right, Figgis.
Yes, Figgis.
You got a stake in this.
It's frustrating because now we're getting movies that aren't finished released early. First it's video games, now it's movies. They're just not finishing them. And I was high as a fucking kite and I just didn't know
You're
how
like,
to cross.
Woo!
My brain could not handle human hands.
I know that's
hands.
A human hand. Yeah. I may be high and fucked up, but I know a human hand.
I really want to figure out how to change the society so that we can get better quality.
It's called patience.
The thing is,
no,
there's good stuff coming out, but...
Well, okay, it's not just a matter of patience, because we're all waiting on certain things, but, I mean, we're still waiting on George R. R. Martin to finish damn Game of Thrones.
Never happening.
No, it's not, and he's upset with the ending, and he can go suck his own dick
for
that.
Well, it's his own problem.
Well, because he didn't end it.
Yeah. Well, exactly! It's all like, I don't like how this ended. Well, maybe you should have met a goddamn deadline.
Maybe you should have wrote something, motherfucker.
Yeah, I
don't know how to talk to you.
J.R.R. Tolkien finished his shit in like 5 years. He was done. He was
ending
out. I know,
and that shit should have been edited better. Yeah. But that's
Listen, that's not the point.
No,
the point is, the man created an entire language just out of his ass.
He created
out of his butt. Like, the man pulled that out of his ass and went, I should write books around this. And
But
George R.R. Martin can't even finish a fucking book.
It's too stressful. I just want to get into the mindset for Hollywood. Hollywood is always about making a buck. And they're not really about paying the writers. Or doing quality and just throw Michael Bay explosions at
things. No, we just got to get the shit out by Christmas.
Yeah,
so
we just have to
money.
Make sure that there's content out there. It doesn't have to be good content. It just has to be there. And I really want to get to a point in our society where we can get quality for our quantity.
Yep.
And I don't know how Hollywood can do that. I mean, I think the only option is to go full indie. And it's really hard when you got Disney.
Well, and then
Plus
you got
and,
the
and,
indies that don't get paid.
Well, and that sucks. And so every time there's an indie movie out there, whether I want to see it or not, I make the effort to go throw money at it.
Here's my problem with indie movies, and like they all feel samey to me, where it's like, oh well,
yeah,
you
because
know,
you know Michael Bay is so original.
That's not the point. Is it's all garbage to me. I don't. It's
all
like,
rubbish.
Well, because indie
Men
movies,
in Black 4.
Indie movies have this thing
Fuck
where
that,
they're
man.
Like, well, we're gonna use a low quality camera and we're gonna, you know, they just take themselves too seriously, and I don't like that.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
so,
that's how it always
that.
Feels to me
because
every time.
Pretentiousness is the same problem as, you know, Michael Bay. And you know what? He gets his own name. He's his own problem.
He knows what he's doing.
He
doesn't care.
He doesn't
he's like, he's in it for the motherfucking money. That man's making dollar bills and he doesn't give a
Michael
shit.
Michael Bay is a producer on Black Sails.
Perfect. Oh, he knows what he's doing.
He does know what he's doing.
Yeah,
however,
you know, here's the thing. He knows when to get the fuck out of other people's way.
Oh, exactly.
He's
not pretentious about it.
The thing is, though, when you're dealing with a lot of the indie films, all I see is Guy Ritchie wannabes.
No, Tarantino. Tarantino wannabes.
Well, everyone has abandoned the Tarantino model and has kind of tried.
Except
to
Tarantino,
do...
who keeps hammering that. I'm sorry, I'm not a fan.
Well,
who's the super quirky director? What's his fucking name? The Weird Hotel movie with Bill Murray.
Wes Anderson.
No,
Wes Anderson. Yeah, no, it's Wes Anderson.
Okay,
you're right though. That name sounds familiar. That you're just throwing out. But yeah, no, fucking Wes Anderson. That's who everybody wants to be. Because it's like, if you can't be original, you can't just be quirky. Just be weird
just be
about
quirky.
It.
Quirky.
But he knows what he's doing. See, he's
practiced.
He's got the quirk down to an art. I love that.
Here's the difference. difference between The Witcher and Bright.
Go on.
That bullshit, Will Smith bullshit.
Bright could have been so good.
It could have been great.
The premise was brilliant.
It was so great.
Yeah.
It was so great. We wanted to like it. We watched the whole thing going, why does this suck?
Because it's now, a pilot for a TV show that we never got.
And now we're going to tell you. Because being quirky, it goes back to the whole thing of like, look, you need to learn the rules so you can break the rules. You can't break the rules until you learn the rules.
Kind of mentality.
And here's the thing is, I'm not going to listen to the rules. I'm just going to do my own thing. Here's the reason why that sometimes works and the rest of the time you're an asshole. You're a pretentious asshole.
Go on.
You're Tarantino. You're a pretentious asshole. You need to learn the rules so you know why you're breaking. Not when to break the rules. Not how to break the rules. Why you're breaking the rules. Because if there's no motivation behind your quirkiness, you're just a pretentious asshole.
Ooh.
Well, and
telling it how it fucking is. Man.
I mean, Wes Anderson.
That's how it is.
Because that's why weird hotel guy whose name we can't think of because we're drinking and we're too far
the fucking,
away from
yeah.
From
I,
the
I was gonna say there's another
the
one.
Is plugged in,
as soon as I said weird hotel guy, I'm like, there's like five of them. Like,
yeah, but you know what we're talking about. He does the whole like square on shots.
That's Wes Anderson that does that.
Okay, so Wes Anderson does that, where he does the still shots, but the quirkiness that he does is he has a motivation of I want to do this thing because, and his audience, his producers don't need to know his because, but he knows his because.
Yeah,
and that motivates his shots.
And he does put Bill Murray in fucking everything. He's one of those.
He's put Bill Murray in everything. He's put Edward Norton in everything.
But I like both of those actors,
Angelica Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
I mean,
he works with big budget actors, but in like the weirdest fucking
way.
Because as far as indie films go, those actors, they see the art. They see the motivation. And when you're an actor who's, you know, here's the deal. When you're an actor, when you're in any kind of art, creative art form, it's just like paying your bills. It's a job, just like working at McDonald's, just like working that shift at the bookstore, just like every crappy job you've had that nobody understands, and you're making dirt cheap wages versus millions of dollars, unlike the actors.
But you're still making fucking money.
But here's the thing is, it's still their job.
Yeah.
And they approach it like it's their job. Superman approaches The Witcher like it's his goddamn job. He does not need to be all like...
He put work into that. He played all three games. He read all the
books. No, man. Did he really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was not going to start until... He didn't start filming until...
He didn't go into that being all like, I'm going to be the face of the... He didn't go into it like that. He went into it like, this is my job. And as my job, I'm going to give it my all because this is my job.
Yeah.
After watching him as The Witcher and seeing how the whole story unfolded, I honestly think that this is, again, perfect.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anyone else doing it better. Just like I can't envision anyone else doing Conan but Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
Sure.
It is.
And now Tom Hardy is Mad Max.
Exactly.
And Tom Hardy is Mad Max.
Yeah.
Okay. It is that perfect. Because
he took over
blend.
From Mel Gibson, and I'm like, no, he's better.
It's seamless.
Like, I'm okay. I'm actually okay with this.
Yeah, it's almost like
seamless.
Mel Gibson was a placeholder.
Wait, until Tom Hardy could be old enough. Yeah,
could be old enough. No, but like this is their
Tom Hardy could be born.
But at the same time, it's a creative job, and you still look for the artistic outlets. It's like there was some like monologue from a Kevin Smith thing about like actors, and it was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. I'm pretty sure it was a Kevin Smith movie where this whole like you gotta do this film.
It was a Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah, and then you gotta do your indie film.
Oh my fucking god, it was
to keep your street cred.
To keep your street cred.
And
you do one creative, and then you do one fun
big budget bullshit.
Then
you
back and forth.
And then you gotta do your
it was Matt Damon getting coached by Ben Affleck,
and that's like why it's hard to watch some of these indie films for me because. They're great. Some of them have original stories, and they're interesting. But man, they all want to be like those big time directors, where it's like, well, I did a long shot for that lasted 30 minutes. It's like
but
nobody
why?
Wants that.
But
nobody.
Why?
for the sake of being artsy, and no, that's what I hate.
Being artsy is not an answer. That's a pretentious asshole. And you know how many?
That's what it is.
And I'm sorry, Art Institute. You're done now, and here's why. So many art teachers will encourage these bullshit things of, well, for the art, for the sake of the art. And it's like, go to hell.
And I laughed. I saw it today that someone commented that Bad Boys 2 has a 30-minute car chase, and it took everything in me resisting the urge of typing in, it's because they didn't have a story.
Yeah. but even that, like, it's done well. Like, I enjoy the Bad Boys 2 car chase.
That's why I love Fury Road so much, is because the whole movie is a car chase.
Yeah. It is.
And when you ask why, I don't answer with pretentious bullshit.
That's the story.
Because that is the story. Because they didn't need anything else.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
They don't need other things.
And that's why that movie works, but fucking Last Jedi doesn't work. Because it's the same premise where they're running away, and that's the whole story, but they're two very different movies, and you can tell they're by two very different people.
We're tired of running. We're going to stand and charge you with our horses.
No, that's the newest one. That's not the last one.
Oh, that's right. Where they were,
no, Rise of Skywalker, at least they stand their ground and do something about it.
I forgot. They blur together.
Yeah, Last Jedi, they... No, fuck off. Rise of Skywalker is actually decent.
Anytime I talk about Fury Road and someone goes, it's just a dude's explosion jerk-off movie.
No,
it's not. I'm sitting here going, I know you.
The first Mad Max is.
And I know how to talk to you from here on out, and that's to not.
Well, and I feel bad when the bride eats the pregnant girl eats shit.
Yeah, you feel. You don't even know her name.
Does she even have a name in that?
She does. She calls, and Charlize Theron's character calls her by her name.
Fuck, man.
And I don't even remember it. All I know is she eats shit.
Oh, she falls out. Well, it's her own fault.
It's her own fault.
Yeah.
She sacrifices herself for the greater good, but at the same point, I'm like...
Wasn't she running? She was trying to go back, right?
No, she didn't make it to back. She's the first one to fall, and...
Oh, fuck, yeah, that's right. She hits the ground. Fuck it.
Yeah! And then they hit her.
Her name is something like, perfect.
Flattened by truck.
It's an adjective.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because they all have weird names like that, fuck, man, I can't remember any of
But it's an objectifying adjective, which is the whole point of Fury Road. Fury Road is such a feminist movie.
Yeah,
and anytime I hear someone go, it's just a guy's jerk-off explosion, I'm like, I don't even know.
I've heard both sides where there were some dudes who were complaining, like, there's too much women feminism bullshit. And
Mad Max doesn't do
enough.
I was like, no.
It's a nice middle ground of, like, yeah, we have this really good, like, feminine story. Your explosion jerk-off movie's there.
Yes!
Like, it's there, and there's a lot of action, so well a lot of excitement, done. But there's also, like, so well a good story. And that's just what I want.
And there's almost
I don't
no
care
dialogue.
Who directs the movies. I don't care who writes them. I just want a better story.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Expect better, because we're putting multiple billions of dollars into this industry.
And they're still coming out in the red. Like, when they send, like, billions of dollars just to break even... They might not even make any money.
Yeah, because they spend all their money on, you know, shitty VFX like fucking Cats. And they forget about everything else where they're like, well, we spent millions of dollars on mocap suits. And it's like, well, maybe you should have invested in better writers.
I know.
Like,
when the Sonic thing, everyone's like, we need all to make sure we go see the Sonic movie because they listened to their fans when they made the mistake. I was like, if they just paid the damn money in the first place and done their damn job.
But I feel bad because the studio that redid everything and that was doing the visual effects, they got shut down.
And the
whole thing was, it was led by this guy who's actually like a cartoonist and actually like, cared about everything. Mm-hmm. He was on board. He did it all, like half of it for free. But that's the thing, is like, we need people like him who are sitting there being motivated to actually do the work and put in the time and care about vision. Project and care about things.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a lot of big budget movies don't care.
Here's my political statement for the evening.
Ooh.
If only, lay it on us. It's not about funding so much as
it's about all that. About the barge.
It's well.
Amen to that.
Thank you, Fury Road. I know what you're referencing. And I'm going to come back to that in a second.
For The Witcher and for Fury Road.
Exactly. I'm going to do that in a second. But no, the funding of what we are spending. You get this funding to make a movie. What do you spend it on? And I think like the same thing is true with it with the education system in this country is like you get funding and then you spend it on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not
the
just
lowest test scores.
Coke and hookers, and then you're like, I guess we have to make a movie now.
Well, like, it's not just about how much you have, it's mm-hmm. about what you chose to
how
spend
you
it
spend
on.
It.
Yeah.
And if you're not paying your writers and you're not paying your artists, you're gonna get a bright situation.
But then when you look at what Jon Favreau, and this let's make no mistakes.
Oh, yeah,
this is his baby.
Yeah. Oh,
this is his writing. This is everything.
He's got a budget, but man, it's nothing compared to everything else.
No, they reached out. They did not have enough.
But you got to do your indie to keep your street cred.
Yeah, exactly.
This is his indie.
Because,
which is weird because it's Star Wars and it shouldn't be. But
well, he didn't have a budget. He had to reach out to the fan groups, the 501st.
Yeah.
To bring in stormtroopers.
Isn't it weird that that's my favorite episode? Because they brought in the 501st, and because they did that, they accidentally made part of a video game canon that wasn't canon before.
Yeah.
So I saw you post that.
Yeah. So the Force Unleashed has a stormtrooper that is a flametrooper. So the flametrooper that you see with all the red armor, that's a 501st original, mm-hmm. and they had that guy mm-hmm. go in and do that. He's got his red armor and everything mm-hmm. like that, and you're like, wait, no, that wasn't canon. Is that canon now? Like,
it is.
And they accidentally did that by bringing in fan groups.
That's awesome.
And I think that really says something about that
show. And when
about
he first came in, I'm like, is that Scourge
yeah.
out of one of the video
and
games?
And you would think it was. It's just
Scourge
a flame
is
trooper.
Orange.
Yeah, and he's red.
And he's red.
He's got the red, and I was like, he's from The Force Unleashed. That's weird. Mm-hmm. So by this whole thing of like, well, there's no original ideas in Hollywood. There's original ideas. It's just
they don't get the budget for the original ideas.
There's
no faith.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's that. It's that we can't bank on it not being
when I was coming out of high
school. It's got to be a hit.
When I was coming out of high school, my buddy and I were both.
Where are the champagne glasses? I need more.
They're in the top shelf of that cabinet.
Wonderful.
He wanted to go in film and I toyed with film. But there's a lot of, like, you know, you can't really go to Hollywood with an original idea because they won't give you a chance.
No, that's accurate because
they don't have faith. They don't.
They smirk.
And when you do get an original idea, like, I don't know, Die Hard.
Why is Die Hard?
That's Richard Donner, damn it!
It's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie, and I will hear nothing to the contrary. You're wrong. It is, and frankly,
no, I agree, yeah.
And frankly, you know what? We need more ghost stories for Christmas because Christmas is a dark time.
Scrooged.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's
not just the one ghost story we're all familiar with.
Mm.
No,
Ghostbusters 2 is a Christmas movie.
That's true.
What is
Ghostbusters 2?
Okay, yes, that is
and a New Year's movie.
That is accurate, but. We need more ghost stories for Christmas. But
yeah,
that's
spooky Christmas time. Watch Black Christmas. It's a great slasher.
Krampus
flick.
Is still
not horror for the sake of it's Christmas, so let's get dark.
No, Krampus is based on
folklore.
Yes,
yeah. But Black Christmas is
okay.
not.
No, Black Christmas is not.
Krampus is folklore, but that Krampus movie is just.
It's folklore. Man. The problem with I have a problem
your
with that
buddy
movie.
Your buddy from Parks and Rec is in it.
Oh, so I guess I should love it.
Yes,
I enjoy it, but I also like Smash Mouth, and ironically, so like it's hard to take me seriously. It's.
I'm not talking about horror. I'm talking about ghost stories.
All right. True story. All right.
But no, original ideas. We talk about this a lot on the podcast.
No. And that's what we back.
Mad Max and The Witcher. Let me just point out.
Oh, and The Mandalorian.
And The Mandalorian.
Good shit.
No, specifically, because I haven't seen The Mandalorian.
Oh, The Bard. She's going for The Bard angle.
The Bard.
I'm not going to Barding. I'm going
oh,
to
we need more bards
the,
and things.
The,
we do need
the
more
title card characters. Tom Hardy and what's his face?
Henry Cavill.
Yes. Blonde Superman.
Blonde Superman.
I'll learn his name.
Dude, we brought that up to the guy in the liquor store, and he had like a whole dissertation ready for us.
He's only on episode 3.
Yeah, he's only on episode 3, and he was... And
everybody's got a lot to say about the
laid
Witcher.
It out for us, and we're like,
the problem was, is like, as we got into it, this line started behind.
Yes, we couldn't continue the conversation because...
Like, next time, I'll be here tomorrow.
There was foot tapping happening.
Yes. The hardcore...
Fuck off, lady, we're talking about The Witcher.
It's
fuck
funny
off,
that you... the hardcore alcoholic with the Def Leppard t-shirt... That's sitting there tapping her toe. And I'm all like,
she's late for her.
She was wearing a Def Leppard.
She's late for her beer pong tournament.
Yes. Like, I mean, whatever, man.
The Broncos aren't even playing, bitch.
The thing is I just saw so much, like, I feel like, Cavalier, is that how you say his name?
Cavill.
Yep. Henry Cavill.
Go on.
Like, channeled Tom Hardy from Mad Max with his...
The broody?
Oh, well, that's from the books and the games. Okay, yeah. He doesn't say a fucking word unless he's asking for money.
It was so Mad Max in the how much can nothing say. Just
love characters like that where it's like Hardy. Tom Hardy had like 5 lines in Mad Max.
And that's one of the things I loved about it. Is
and
how,
you still
how,
like his character.
Right. It's such a great story with no dialogue. And the difference is, in The Witcher, he's the only one with no dialogue.
Yeah, it's funny because
he's a title character.
Everybody else has way too much to say.
And it's funny because I saw someone post on the interwebs of, I don't like that I can't hear what The Witcher's saying. And I felt like responding,
he mumbles a lot,
again, you don't hear what he says in the fucking video game either.
I have to turn on subtitles.
You
can
barely hear
because,
him.
Like, he mumbles to himself, he mumbles to the horse. Like, in the games, he'll mumble to the horse. He'll start talking
to the horse. He talks more to the horse than anybody else.
Yeah, he talks to his horse, but then in episode 1.
Yeah, but, like, he'll mumble, and he'll be like, fucking spirits, like, goddamn bullshit. Like, and it's things that I do, and I think I relate with that, or I'll just mumble to myself.
I would reply to that person on the internet with a gif of The Witcher just going,
Yeah. No, I just like whenever he's, like, walking out, and he invokes the law of surprise or whatever, and he's like, whatever, nothing's gonna come out of this, and then she vomits,
he's
like she's
like,
pregnant.
Fuck.
And that's all he said. Yeah. He just goes, fuck. Then he walks out.
It's probably one of the best moments of the entire season.
That's all that's how he ends interactions, is just fuck.
And then he leaves.
I might be wrong. I might have to go rewatch it to make sure. But I'm pretty sure that is the first fuck.
I think it is.
In the show.
Yeah.
And it's episode...
No.
Yeah, I think it is.
No, I think she's right. I feel like it might be. From him, maybe, at
least.
No.
Because he says it quite a few times.
No, I don't think he says it before that moment. And I'm not just talking about the weird Westworld
timeline.
I think that's the first time in the show that someone goes, fuck. I think people say shit. I think people say a lot of swear words.
No, I think it's much sooner. We have to rewatch it.
I'm going to rewatch it.
Sure, but I'm pretty sure that's the first fuck in the show is that moment. And I think that's good.
I don't know, but I it sounds right.
I just feel like that's the most
I hope it is.
Fuck.
Yeah. No, I really hope you're right, because I hope that's like...
I really want that to be true.
Yeah.
It's the first time I noticed the word, because the first time I watched it, I was all like, they've never dropped the F-bomb.
I think you just can't hear him say, fuck.
He mumbles a lot.
It's not even about the mumbling. I just don't think anyone has said fuck until that moment.
I have to rewatch it.
I'm just impressed with what Cavill delivers. And I stand on my statement that this is a he's the man.
I'm so blown away. I'm so happy for him.
Yes.
Because most of the stuff he's done has been very typecast, where he gets to be the pretty boy.
I don't know. In The Man from Uncle?
He gets to be the
woman. He's in The Man from Uncle?
Yeah, he's in The Man from Uncle.
He's the dude in the suit.
He's Solo.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I love about The Man from Uncle, which, by the way, is a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yes.
Suck it, Tarantino.
which is brilliant.
It's brilliant, and it's PG-13 because that's how he rolls. And frankly, while we're on the subject, Henry Cavill,
correct?
Okay, he actually put it in his contract with the people when he did The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is he wanted to make sure that his shirt stayed on.
Oh,
even though it got fucked up, and he was drenched a couple times.
No, but okay,
the shirt stayed.
So he's the most you see of him in there's a scene where he's clearly just had a sexy time, and he's in a robe, but it's covering, and you see a deep V, but his shirt is on. And that was, like, part of his thing. It was like, I want to be in a role where my shirt stays on.
Oh, where he's not just like a model and yeah. Yeah.
He's not a sex symbol.
And that was,
I mean,
like,
he
a
is, but he it's is. Not on purpose.
Dude, if I was that shredded, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
You want me to take my shirt
ripped.
Off?
Again, he ripped leather armor.
Yes.
Okay, like every episode.
Every girl says that until she turns 16. Okay? Like every girl says, like, if I was a sex object, I would just live until you become one of them.
You're right.
And then you change your tune.
True story.
And that's really what he is. He's look, I'm sorry. His that cleft chin, he is too pretty to be real.
He knows what he's got. Yeah, he knows.
He's a sex object. Yeah. He knows it. Everybody tells him. Everybody reminds him constantly. That was part of his contract. Anyway, little bit of trivia.
It wasn't in the contract in The Witcher.
No, it was not. Nope. It was actually going through my head at certain parts. I was like, well,
obviously, this was a different negotiation.
That was a different negotiation.
But again, you know, it's we're getting that not Game of Thrones logic where it's like, well, we see boobies, but no dick, and I think Netflix is scared.
I didn't, it was fine. There was no front bottoms on either sex, and it was fine. And so front tops on both sex, fine.
Sure.
Equal is equal does, but...
nips on both sides, amen.
Amen.
Most of what Henry Cavill...
Yes, you're doing it. You're doing good.
Like,
Henry's a weird name. You can just call him Geralt of Cavill.
Just call him Superman.
Blonde Superman.
He's blonde. Okay, the first episode I saw that, I was all like, I know that face. Where is that face? What is going on? What's going on?
Well, yeah, you don't recognize him because he doesn't have his weird mustache.
Well, no, I didn't recognize him because the first, like, three shots that include his head are hair in the face.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And like the first 20 minutes of episode
keeps getting knocked out and knocked down.
If they show his face, it's got hair in the face.
Yeah.
And it isn't until like the end, and you're like 10 minutes in before you actually get a shot of his face and you go, oh, it's Blonde Superman.
Yeah.
And then you have to get adjusted to Blonde Superman. But no, anyway, so what I'm saying is that every role he's played a certain type of character, which is very, I'm a man and I have talents, but I'm very pretty and that's one of my talents.
God, you're right. Because that's even him in Mission Impossible when he reloads his arms.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Yeah, because, no, he does.
Actually seen that film?
It makes the sound effect, too. He goes like, cuckoo, and it's like, what the fuck?
Well, and you see that in the trailer, where he gets up, and he's all like, fuck you, little boy.
He reloads his arms. Yeah, no, they're fighting in an Asian nightclub, and it's fucking hilarious, because he just beats down these people.
There's nice. Very Grant-ness about him, even when he's playing an American.
Ooh, I can see that.
Where he's very suave in every role.
Yeah.
And in this character, he's
brutish.
Yeah, his shirt is off, suave. And he's beautiful, but...
if you could only see Red's face when she says... Beautiful.
Yeah, there was an extra breath in
there. Yeah. She's... Oh, look at... Hot flash.
That's not what that is. That's the champagne.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not... That's a different thing,
that's,
Smurf.
That's blush mixed with alcohol. But, okay, so he's beautiful, but he's... I mean, but when he plays The Witcher, and he stays in that... the whole time...
Oh, yeah. Well,
it just shows... And he's playing this character... Yeah, shirt off, whatever, swinging arms, strutting. We love it. But he's playing it so differently than everything he's ever done.
Yeah.
And I just
It's less suave.
I just
it's
feel like
gritty.
Finally
yeah.
he's gotten a chance to be more than just his chin.
Yeah, he's down in the dirt this time.
Oh,
like,
he's
like,
dirty.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like Superman, where Superman's the boy wonder. He's perfect in every way, you know.
There's that one scene he comes out just drenched in mud.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's not mud.
It's shit. It's very obviously shit.
I don't want to say that, but I'm just like,
it's
just
shit and guts and it's
head
it's
to
gross.
Toe and just.
Oh, and he walks
shit.
Through the bar. That's my favorite thing that's come out of that is fuck off, Bard. And that's all he says.
which is after the fuck.
Yeah. Fuck off, Bard. That's just, it's perfect. And yeah, we could go on about The Witcher this entire podcast. Is there other news?
We do have other news.
No. I don't care what he says. No,
it's only The Witcher. I'm going to watch it again.
Disney Plus has actually released a trailer showing what to expect in 2020.
They haven't showed any actual footage of anything.
They haven't showed shit for footage.
They showed old footage and they're like, look, Falcon and Winter Soldier
and
WandaVision.
And WandaVision. And that was like the spotlight.
Yeah, that's their titular thing and they haven't showed any actual
footage. Artist rendition of WandaVision. Yeah. They haven't shown shit.
They showed that, and then they showed the Bucky and what's his name in the
Winter Soldier.
Bucky is the Winter Soldier. Sam. They showed Bucky and Sam in the backseat of the car from fucking Civil War, and that's all they showed for Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I'm like, yeah, we have that car scene. Whoop-de-doo. Like,
good job, Disney Plus. What Disney has got going on.
Listen, I trust them after Mandalorian. Anything.
Yeah, I
don't know, man. They shit out gold once.
No.
Jon Favreau shit out gold.
I'm surprised he's not involved with anything else.
We don't know, though. We don't know what's going behind the scenes. Because you have to expect, at this point, Jon Favreau has proven himself.
Well, I was going to say, what I love is that he's the front runner, but he's not the director of every single episode. No. I like that they're like, we got Dave Filoni in here. We got the woman who, she's apparently going to take over the Obi-Wan show.
Yep.
She was a director of a couple of the episodes. I think that they made, and Bryce Dallas Howard for some reason, but like, I don't know, her episode is actually really good. Good Seven Samurai episode. But I don't know, man. I think Disney Plus is putting the money into the right places. I'm hoping it stays that way. I was going to say, for now is a good way to say it because,
well, I mean,
I don't know.
We've already seen the green light for Mandalorian Season 2, which I'm sure they've been filming already.
There are 7 seasons planned for The Witcher. I'm so excited.
Are there really?
There should be. And I'm not surprised with that.
I just want more monsters. That's all I want.
Actually, you know what? I was kind of disappointed with the monsters for the first run. I mean, the gold dragon, I did like that whole take.
That was kind of interesting, but cool
at the same time.
I like that he's not all about, I'm just going to murder these monsters. Yeah. We're back to the fucking Witcher.
And if I have my say, we're going to stay
here.
We're going to stay here until Valentine's Day.
It's not Monster of the Week. He has his reasons for fighting.
Yeah. But
it's mostly money. Those are mostly the reasons he fights monsters. Money.
Well, when he's sitting in the court, I don't fight humans.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until that the monster got involved that he's all like, oh, fuck no.
But then he started fighting humans.
Yes, and then he's like, all right, fuck you guys.
Yeah, there's a porcupine man.
Yes. And,
that's based in folklore.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
See, and that's another thing about that show is a lot of the monsters are folklore monsters.
Yeah.
So it's like you're taking from like the UK, you know, the European, you've got the Swedish, the Norwegian,
very,
all the...
Yeah, it's very diverse.
The poor bugbear that gets fucking mutilated by that...
Don't even, like, the second run through, there was that scene, I left the room and let it play.
It's hard to watch.
Because it was uncalled for. The first time I cried, and the second time I knew it was coming, so I just got up out of the room and waited.
And then you have, you know, the overzealous knight guy.
And thank God he dies brutally.
Oh, immediately. But it's like, fuck God and country. And you're like, you know there's people like that in that world because...
Yeah, there's people like that in this world.
Well, exactly. And they slaughtered, you know, hundreds of thousands of elves, apparently.
And they're about to go and do it again.
Yeah.
And this is all true.
And it's back to, that's what I want out of more shows, is more interesting things like that. That's why I like The Mandalorian.
I'm excited.
Space Boston is something I need to see in The Mandalorian, though, because if Bill Burr exists, that means Space Boston is real. When I saw Bill Burr show up in Mandalorian, I laughed my ass off. That they make the joke of he's like, oh yeah, he's former Imperial Storm or a sharpshooter, and he's like, well, that's not saying much, and he's like, I wasn't a stormtrooper, dickhead, and I was like, is that the first dickhead we've gotten in Star Wars?
It is, and I love when the biker scouts are sitting there trying to do target practice.
Dude, that's red versus blue. Oh,
it is totally red versus blue.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw you post that, and I was all like, I'm done.
It's exactly, and like, I didn't post the actual dialogue, but it literally is them sitting out there going, well, can I see it? What? Well, can I see it? You have it in this bag. Can I see it? That guy just shot an officer because he felt like it. Yeah, but can I see the thing you got in your bag? You got to see it. Yeah, because I barely scooped it off the ground. Well, yeah, you still got to see it. It's fucking that.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I need more writing like that. And I want a stormtrooper. Now I want a stormtrooper spinoff of them just on the Death Star or somewhere, and it's the day-to-day lives of these really shitty stormtroopers.
It's called Robot Chicken.
No. Yeah.
There's Troopers? There's that fan film Troopers
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want canon that. I need more of that.
Again, Jon Favreau. That is that is all.
That's his
possible.
Episode.
It's
yeah.
Odd. I know.
Yes.
It's amazing.
The guy.
They should turn that into a video game.
Oh my god.
So
I'd take a minute.
I am gonna here. Punch you in the tit.
But we talked about the red versus blue scene last week. You weren't here for it.
I wasn't here. I was still. I was on a plane.
You were on a plane.
I was.
Missed all the fun stuff.
Please.
The
please God.
What are you doing?
Well, she's done. Yeah.
Your aim is impressive for that far in.
Yeah,
because,
I was gonna say she didn't spill
any.
Because
even when I'm drunk, I'm not
impressive.
Sloppy.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Appreciate that. Other than that, there hasn't been a whole lot of shows. Everything's on hiatus right now.
One thing to watch on Disney Plus is the Imagineers show, and I want more people to see it, and I need more people to watch it. It's a documentary about the Imagineers and about Disneyland and Disney World and everything like that.
The guys that designed it from Walt's conception.
And there's a whole lot of behind the scenes.
Jews.
They don't hate Jews. He did.
I know. I mean, you have to get in that mindset.
Yeah. But fucking... There's this whole thing. They just did one about Star Wars Land and about how they designed everything within it. And it's fascinating. And that's another Disney Plus thing I recommend. I want that to do well because I need more.
There's this person in my life. I'm not going to tell you why. My cat is older than her. But every now and again...
I'm sorry. What?
My cat is older than this human.
Wait. Okay. How old is Figgis?
Figgis is almost 22.
Oh, yes. Good. Okay. My feelings are almost hurt. Jesus, Figgis is 22.
Figgis
and I are almost the same age.
Figgis is dusty.
Anyway, go on.
So she's 20. And every now and again she'll say something, and I'm just like, my cat is older than you.
Figgis is 20-something.
But we were talking about Disneyland.
What does that mean, Smurf?
I don't know what he said. I wasn't listening.
He said things that 20-somethings say. What does that mean?
Nothing.
What do you mean?
So anyway, what are we saying?
He'll know in about 5 years.
Grandma and Grandpa over here getting ornery.
Go on. Oh, honey, we've been ornery.
I was going to say, where have
I
been?
I've been ornery since, like, 1998.
I've been ornery since 2010.
I was still
I remember it was July 7th. Anyway.
1906.
No, 2010. Focus.
Anyway, go on.
2006.
No, but
sorry.
I was telling her about, you know, like, Disneyland and the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And I was all like, okay, so the last time I was at Disneyland... I say didn't count because it was 1985.
And Jack Sparrow wasn't on the ride.
Yeah. No, Jack Sparrow was not on the ride. And I made a comment about, like, you know...
Tortuga was, though.
The pirates weren't chasing food.
No, they're chasing women.
And
did they take that out? Is that actually gone? Okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely gone. It's been gone longer than you've been drinking.
Wow.
And
I didn't realize that. I haven't been in a while.
Pretty since the first movie came out, back when there really was only one movie. And she goes, what? So there I am having this weird conversation explaining to her, back in my day,
Tortuga had a woman getting chased by pirates.
They were chasing the women.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
And they tried to change that so that the women were carrying food, and they tried to, you know, PG-ify it.
But we didn't take the actual skulls and bones out of the ride.
No,
man, death happens to us all, but sexual trafficking, that we can leave away from children.
That's fair.
Anyway, and so I'm,
but they're
this
pirates.
Weird, I'm having this weird conversation, and she doesn't believe me.
Oh, man.
And she's like, I don't think that's true. And she was telling me how she had just gotten back from Disneyland. She goes, no, that isn't how it is. I was like, well...
That's because Disney wants you to think that.
In the 80s, things were different.
I was going to say, Disney wants you to think that bad things didn't happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, we also had the Tom Sawyer ride and...
Ooh, yeah.
You mean Huck Finn.
And if you go back and watch the movie Splash Mountain is based on, that they don't want you to know exists. That's not on Disney Plus.
Song of the South is not on there.
So that's one that I actually wish was on there so people could, you know, see what Disney was.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing.
For a learning experience.
Song of the South.
Go on.
Okay. And we
we're both straight white men.
And we swept that under the rug to be like, can we move on? And most for the most part, it's like, okay, but you need to acknowledge. And they're like, we don't want to acknowledge.
Yeah.
But Birth of a Nation, it's on demand.
Yes, it is.
Well, isn't that interesting?
And that bothers me.
It's that double standard thinking of like, oh, well, you know, we don't want this to know, but, you know, that whole... Yeah.
Like, I almost feel bad saying it out loud, like, yeah, it's free on demand. That's telling.
Mm-hmm. And...
So there's Mr. Boogity, and we should sweep that one under the rug.
Yeah, that one needs to go.
I don't want to sweep it on the rug so much as I just... Look, I'm against censorship, but at the same time... Why?
Yeah.
So
there is a difference between censorship and just... Maybe we just don't put it out there.
So my all-access Disney Pass that I have saved since I was...
A wee lad.
Wee lad. 1978.
Back when they opened the park.
So my dad worked at Disney World when he was a kid, and he played Br'er Fox as a character.
May actually have a picture with him then.
So yeah, no, it was weird. Way before that.
Okay.
No, yeah,
weird,
like
that would be weird.
Weird.
Oh, actually, no. You know what?
78.
If you were a little kid, it might line up. If it was Disney World, it might line up. It might. If he was a little lad, my dad was probably...
I know how old he was in 78.
Are you a wee lad?
I was.
Well, I mean, he's pretty wee now.
I am.
I don't mean
I just have bigger pants.
Oh, okay. Speaking of which, have you read The Wee Free Men yet?
The Wee Free Men? No, I have not.
Oh, man. That's the Terry Pratchett book you need to start with.
Yes. Right. She's on a quest to...
I just reread it yesterday.
Terry Pratchett stuff.
All right, I'm reading some Stephen King right now.
Oh, okay.
His newest one is actually good. The Institute is a
quality. Really?
Book. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
I'm not going to compare Stephen King to Terry Pratchett.
No, you can't. They're very different.
I can.
Well,
and I have
some of their works.
We're not going to. That's a different podcast.
Don't cross the streams, Red.
That could be a topic for next week.
Cross the streams. All right, I'm
across
in.
The streams. In video game news, Nintendo's president says dedicated hardware isn't going anywhere just yet.
Well, that's okay. So we talked about this a little bit last week.
Yes,
where
we did.
PC is probably the next thing that everything's just becoming. Nintendo will never let that happen.
Yeah,
Nintendo will never let their consoles die.
Since 85.
Yeah, no. Exactly. And that's the thing. They are a home family entertainment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I hope that they don't let that die, because I actually like having a console.
No, I agree.
Because I'm sorry, I spent a lot of money on my PC, and that's fine. I spent, you know, over $1,000 on my PC.
You don't need that memory.
And that's the thing, is like, I don't need to do that every single time.
No.
Like, with a console, I'm fine spending $400 or $500.
That's how I feel about music on my iPhone.
Yeah. I don't need to do this every time.
No.
Yeah.
I have an iPod and I'm holding it on.
Oh, damn God, straight. You should. I wish I still had my iPod.
I have three iPods that I will hold on to till my day is done on this.
Until they don't work.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other thing. I'm glad he said. Well, Mr. Doug Bowser.
Bowser's gone. Bowser's
no, the,
gone.
He's not
retired.
The American CEO.
It was
CEO.
I am going to totally mutilate this name.
Is it a Japanese name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on. Shiratora Fukuruma.
Oh, yeah, good. Okay, so he's in charge of Japan. The American guy, his name is Doug Bowser, and he's fucking fantastic.
No, Bowser retired.
No, that was Reggie Fils-.
Oh, no, yeah.
Reggie
yeah,
Fils-.
You're right.
How dare you?
I
apologize, you are
most
right.
Most American actors, so.
No, yeah, yeah. No you, yeah. You, got the name, you got the name pretty good. Yeah.
I, listen, the
Nintendo, I like that they're still trying to stay family-oriented, because there's not a lot of companies out there that are, and that have given in to, like, oh, fucking, we'll just do whatever, you know, the money makes. They're standing firm to their morals and whatever those morals may be. Yeah, they're standing firm, and I applaud that.
Well, I like that.
I mean, they're Japanese, so they can't,
they can't break it.
Yeah,
you can't break it.
Their morals are...
That's forever, yeah.
But you've got, like, the leaked... schematics for the new Xbox X.
Yeah.
In addition to PlayStation.
Yep.
Though, as far as how much power, what we're really going to be dealing with.
Very different direction than Nintendo's taking. Because
huge different direction.
Nintendo's like, hey, what if you could play games fucking anywhere? And everybody goes, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and then that whole 911 fiasco happened.
You know,
look, I'm just saying you gotta pick and choose.
Yeah,
there's always gonna be a backlash.
I mean, that's the thing is Nintendo does a good job of taking that kind of stuff in stride, and
they take it on the chin.
I realize it was Netflix, not Nintendo, they were doing it, yeah. But still, like, you know, but, what if we could do this anywhere? Like, maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah. But at least Nintendo knows that, like, handhelds will be here forever. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't want to always have to play games on my phone.
No.
I play two games on my phone, no. And that's it.
I like
the portability. And I like the Switch.
Yeah.
I do.
I think the Switch actually works extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own custom hardware for it, so it has processing power. It's up there with, like, the Xbox 360, so at least they're catching up. But for, like, a mobile thing, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because my phone can't process Luigi's Mansion 3.
No.
There's no way. It wouldn't look nearly as pretty. And... you know,
and what Aaron and I both agree on is Game of the Year for 2019.
If my car breaks down, I need my phone to work as a phone.
Yes.
God forbid I ever need my phone as a phone.
Yeah.
I need my phone, not the battery drain that whatever game I'm playing causes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to have that backup of, well, I'm taking a nice long plane ride, but I'll need it for my phone for Uber once I get off, and I don't have a portable charger with me.
Oh, man, when we were coming back into the country... Like, there was a big give and take about what I used my phone for.
Yeah, because you have to have it when you're back.
Because I'm on the plane, but my passport information and my flight information is all on my phone.
Yep.
We're talking the difference between having my information ready to go or standing in a three-hour line.
Oh,
that's the same reason I miss my iPod. Because I have to use my phone for music now.
Yeah.
Because I have Spotify and everything like that. And it's
everything's
like...
Everything's there.
I miss my iPod.
And I get the
appeal. I might get one off of eBay.
There's always the appeal of everything is in one device. Okay, everything is in one battery drain.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
And if I need that device for something, I need another device not to drain my battery.
Yep.
And I hate to break this to you, but I...
And that's the difference between being 25 and older.
I'm 26, thank you. I had a birthday.
Look, she's younger than my cat, okay?
Oh, so you're not talking about me.
I'm not talking about... Just because I'm looking at you doesn't mean I'm talking about you.
I have a mini disc player that I travel with.
A mini disc player?
I never had a mini disc player because I didn't have money when the 2 months they were a thing.
I was gonna say,
it was more than 2 months. For a couple of years.
Not,
I
hate it to tell was you, not.
Is it? It's not a CD player, is it?
Nope.
It's the actual like mini disc.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No.
I love my mini disc.
You might have just loved a cassette player.
Men in Black
I do.
The first.
I remember that.
And
yeah.
That was the end of it.
Yeah. Because oh yeah, it's
it
in
came
the...
to theaters. It was a thing. It went to DVD. It was over.
Yeah. You might as well have that shitty thing that came out in the 90s where it was like the little cartridges that went in. Like
but
you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about? Where it was like only NSYNC and Britney Spears. That was it. Those are the only cartridges that came out for it.
That's that. Yeah. I man.
Because it was pre-iPod where they were trying to go like, well, what if it was more portable?
You know what?
Yeah, then they developed the new smaller hard
Listen,
drives.
My Walkman served me just fine, okay?
My mini disc player is amazing, and I put it up against any iPod.
Well, I guess it was a Discman, but you know,
you
it was the
walk.
Same.
He did say Walkman.
You said Walkman.
He did, Walkman.
Like, that's the thing you make stir fry in.
No! What?
He said Walkman.
No, he did not say it like that.
He said Walkman, not Walkman. Thinking, my Walkman does me fine. I'm making sure.
Like, I think it was a Discman, but it's fine. It's
I had a
Discman,
but I also had cargo pants that would fit.
I had trips.
Ooh.
I didn't have money for trips.
I see, neither did I. And I might have stolen them from Hot Topic, and nobody can trace them.
Nobody can prove it.
Listen, it was like 2007. Nobody cared.
Oh my god, 2007.
I was in middle school.
I hate you. It's just what it's like to talk to me.
Yeah, yes. This is exactly what it's like to talk to you.
It's interesting. Your age gap and my age gap is the
probably
same,
about the same as
is
his.
The same
yeah.
as Smurf and me.
I figured. 56 going on?
Yeah.
All
right. Smurf is the same age as one of my teachers in high school.
Wow. That's weird.
I age well.
Actually,
yeah,
older.
No, you look good. Yeah. Wouldn't know.
You know Henry Cavill, but...
Wow, and on that bombshell,
wow.
We shall say goodbye until next week and whatever nonsense Red decides to throw at me.
Amen to that. Look, Red versus Blue.